Hello, everyone. I'm Alan Potcotter, and you're listening to Call Talk for April 10th, 2024. Today's topic is how to turn a rookie contact center hires into all-stars. If you're listening live, we invite you to be part of the show and ask questions. Here's how you do it. You can email me at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com. I want to remind everyone that all of our shows are archived and available to listen to at benchmarkportal.com any time of the day. And with that, I would like to introduce the host of the show, Bruce Belfiore.
Thank you, Alan, and welcome back to Call Talk, everybody. Well, you know, one of the big issues that we have is training, because learning is a crucial part of the agent experience in any call center. And it's important during the training and the nesting periods, but not only. The concept of developing lifelong learners, which is popular in schools these days, also applies to the arc of an agent's career as well. Yet, when we visit a lot of contact centers, we often see training programs that are kind of stuck in the past. They're not bad programs, mind you, but the programs are not evolving with technology and with the latest approaches. And so we brought an expert on this area for you to the show, Adam Levin. And Adam is an expert in contact center coaching. He's the founder and CEO of Ready, coaching software that trains new sales and support hires in half the time of traditional methods. Previously, he was the co-founder and COO of MYX, a higher ed alternative that created in-person campuses for online learners. And he's focused on developing coaching software that combines realistic training simulations, interactive live call assistance, and automated quality assurance to optimize talent across 100% of conversations. So welcome to the show, Adam.
Thanks so much for having me, Bruce.
Okay. Well, you know, there are a lot of questions to be asked here, but why don't I start with this one, something that we have seen, which is why is there sometimes a reluctance to change or innovate existing training programs? Again, they're not necessarily bad programs, but there seems to be a, momentum that just keeps the same thing going over time.
I've found that it's a bit of a lose-lose situation depending on the size of the contact center. So a smaller team, you might have someone who's higher up, maybe even C-level, that put together the training program once, and they're never going to have the time to go back and revisit that program. They're just hopefully going to run that and focus on the other parts of their day-to-day responsibilities. And then as you get into larger and larger organizations, training becomes more and more siloed from the actual calls, the actual emails, the actual conversations from quality assurance. And it's really hard to make sure that each person is talking to another at the management level. And so from what I found is that sometimes there is some openness to updating training, but there is not even an awareness that something that is going wrong in the classroom is having repercussions across the sales floor, across the support floor, and echoing once you put that across all the conversations that a contact center might have across millions of dollars of conversations.
Oh, wow. Putting it that way really does give it across millions of dollars of conversations. These are millions of dollars, both in terms of what it's costing you in terms of your contact center operation and in terms of what it may be costing you in terms of revenues. So that's, put that way, it really kind of brings it all home. And, I think you're right with regard to the fact that there's a lack of awareness in some cases. With regard to impacts of not looking at other ways of doing things and getting comfortable with the way you've done it. Let me ask you this as well. So part of it has to do with the approach and the methodology that people have gotten used to. And there's also an idea that it's kind of a one-stop shop in terms of training. What I mean by that is that people are looking at the initial training as training, and that's it. And they don't continue training and coaching after the initial process is over. Talk to me a little bit about that, Adam.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you use the term lifelong learners in your setup, because that really goes back to my past experiences in education, where the conventional wisdom from everyone has been, okay, well, you go to middle school, then high school, then college, and then you're sort of done learning. And what society has turned around and recognized is that's not actually how education works. And with how many skills are developed in the workplace, it doesn't work in that way either, where just in your first week or two, you can learn how to do your job and then just be done with it. And I've always found that interesting when I go to larger organizations that have their coaching and their training set up in that way, because that wasn't how I was able to develop in my own career. It was through a lot of great mentors who were able to look over my shoulder and make sure I was doing stuff right. And encountering every type of scenario that you're going to encounter on the job, you only get that experience by getting your hands on and learning through doing and having that constant feedback loop. And so, again, it comes down to when you're dealing with these larger organizations, it certainly is easier to set up a training program that runs for 1 or 2 weeks and then you're done. And there's this presumption that if you make those 1 or 2 weeks as high value as possible, that's all you need to do. But what we've learned from working with the best organizations who have not only the best performing agents, but the happiest agents, is when you can continue those feedback loops as much as possible. How much coaching can you give? There's never a too much. Like, if you can have more feedback and more coaching, then you're always going to have better results.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about lifelong learning is that it does need to be facilitated. I mean, there are some people who are just natural lifelong learners, and they will come into any kind of a work situation, and they'll constantly be asking questions. Their mind will constantly be working. But most people are not like that. They need a facilitation. They need that mentor that you were talking about. Mentor figures are so important in contact centers. And mentors plus tools are, you know, sort of key ingredients, because they allow for that constant feedback loop that means that there's continuous improvement. And people enjoy that. As you said, you know, the best performing and the happiest agents. One of the things that I realized decades ago when I came into this field was that one nice thing is that it's not true that the most depressed workers are the most productive. In fact, if you have good management techniques and you have good tools, then you can actually come up with people who are better equipped and happier about doing their job. So good points, good points. So let's talk for a little bit about the kinds of assistive technologies in terms of what we're talking about here, so that, you know, people can get that extra bang for their buck and do it in a way that's positive. And then we'll talk about AI in terms of some of the fears that people have. But first, let's just talk about what it has to offer as technology, as an assistive tool.
Well, for what you just mentioned, which is totally right, that the inclination to learn is not top of mind for most people. So you do have to make it fun and engaging and interactive. And at the same time, you're trying to scale mentorship, which as a standalone software has never been possible until today to do both those things using AI. And that was something that we started to really uncover from an education perspective at my last startup, which was that, you know, AI, ChatGPT, whatever you want to call it, it is the world's greatest tutor. It's the world's greatest mentor, because not only is it widely knowledgeable, but it's fun and it never gets tired. You know, if I am managing someone and trying to train them and they come up and ask me 100 questions in a day, by the 20 or 30th question, I'm going to start losing steam. And at some point, there's going to be a negative reaction. And mm-hmm. that's a real fear that people who are starting a new job have. Everyone kind of knows that feeling in your gut of when you show up for your first day of work and you don't know what's going on. You don't know who to ask questions. You don't want to say anything that's going to make you look, dumb or get you in trouble. And so with these new tools, with AI, you can have all of that knowledge transferred in a repeatable, scalable way that at the same time is really fun to do. And that's what we're trying to uncover and learn about is what are the best ways to, transfer knowledge inside of an organization that not only relieve managers and trainers from this need to constantly look over someone's shoulder, but also present it to a new hire in a way where they want to be training more, want to be learning more, because it's just so fun and you see the results. You see how, if I just practice this one area more, I make more sales, I make more money, I'm happier, right? Cool. So tying all of that together is really the holy grail that I know a lot of people are looking for, which is, how can you scale mentorship in a way that resonates with the mentee?
Absolutely. So let's put some meat on the bones here. Without talking about any specific product, let's talk more about the process and how the technology helps out. So you have a situation in which the technology is acting as, it's mentoring, it's listening, it's coaching, it's doing various things. So if you could just walk us through the ideal process as you see it as a process.
Yeah, I think the broad category for us is considered conversation intelligence and listening in on the conversations that are happening in a classroom, on the phones, on the emails, and after when you're also looking at QA and post-call or conversation recordings. How can you tie all of that together in a way to make it really easy to know what is the best thing that's happening for your organization? So what are the ways in which we close the most sales or support the most customers? And then automatically implementing that inside of the classroom so that you have a living and breathing training program. And so that goes back to the first thing we talked about, which is, how do you meet every learner where they're at without having to constantly update your different course modules or videos? That is where AI can step in and understand what's best for your organization, what's best for this learner, and deliver it in, under a second, depending on where in the training process that you're talking about. So that's the other great thing about AI is, you can be delivering training right up to the last second of delivery, which is a customer just said something on this call. What should you be saying in response? That can now be done in a cost-efficient way, and that was never really possible before. So on the positives of where these tools are going, we can be training at every single point in this process, and it never has to end. It can be 24/7, and it can all cost a fraction of what a person having to do that would be.
Gotcha. Okay. So there's some different components to this. Included, obviously, knowledge management can benefit from the use of AI in the sense that it can recognize, because what AI does is to recognize patterns, right? In many cases, recognize obviously the obvious patterns, but also recognize the non-obvious patterns. It will see things that we as humans can't because we don't have the volume capacity that AI has. And so knowledge management obviously gives the answers to the agents to give to the customers. So that's one of the things that can be done. Why don't I stop there for a second, see if you have anything you'd like to add to that.
Yeah, I was just going to give you an example that I've seen of that in practice, which was watching as we were building training simulations for a contact center, And the training simulations were built where there was a certain section that a customer had to give over personal information. And the trainers asked us to reduce the difficulty of that area. They said, we actually don't get a lot of objections around providing this information. And again, not to their fault, but because they weren't listening to 100% of the conversations on the floor, they didn't notice what we then noticed as we got onto those live calls, which was that this actually was a huge objection that was causing a significant drop in sales. And so because we were able to listen to those conversations and understand, okay, the customer tends to have an objection around sharing this personal information, we were then able to go back to the simulation in the classroom and add in additional training around how we best approach that fear from the customer. And so over time, we're going to be able to find more and more of those areas that you can continually train for. And whether you pick them up for everyone, or you may just notice that one individual agent is having a harder time practicing one specific type of objection, you can now assign that to a single person on that single basis and not have it break down your whole flow where you have to take someone's time out of their day to go and, you know, coach them for a few hours.
Right. Okay. And when we think of knowledge management and some of the things you've just been talking about, we think of hard facts, which are important, and making sure that people are comfortable with the way that those facts are communicated or avoided if, in fact, it's something where they're afraid of breaches of security and things like that. And that's where you go back and you say, do we really need this? I mean, how many of us have to deal with bureaucratic things these days? And you as a business owner, me as a business owner, sometimes I'm filling something out for, you know, for a client or for government entity or something like that. And I say, do they really need this? And probably the answer is no. And, but anyway, if we move from that to soft skills, talk a little bit about the, from hard facts to the soft skills, talk a little bit about soft skills and how, the things you're talking about can be positively impacted, in terms of that soft skills area, which is so important in terms of, the relationship that can be built with the customer on the phone.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you that soft skills are one of these hardest to pin down areas just by nature of the exact name. They're not exactly a hard skill that you know exactly how to train someone for. And everyone has a different level that you're sort of meeting them at. And so some of the things that we can help with on the soft skill is doing analytics on someone's voice, their rate of speech, their tone. These are, again, when you're thinking about conversation, it's not just the words that are being said, but how you say them. And that can give you a baseline in helping with some of the soft skills, like, are you providing active listening? Are you speaking too fast for a customer? Even when we talk to some BPOs that have a lot of difficulty training for accent reduction, you know, that's something that we work on to identify, and soon we'll be implementing some ways to even do that live on a call, right? But the overall mission that I think every contact center needs to have with soft skills and balancing that with software is understanding that there are certain conversations that absolutely should take place between an agent and a trainer or a manager, and you want to turn those into the highest leverage, highest value opportunities. And I think focusing on soft skills are a great example of things that humans are still better at than a lot of the AI tools I've seen. And if you can have more time to focus on that and not have to worry about some of the knowledge management, which AI is exceptionally good at, then your conversations when you have an in-person coaching session are going to be so much more impactful if you can just focus on the soft skill component, the confidence, the clarity, things like that.
Right. No, great points. And, okay, so why don't we you know, talk about the elephant in the room here a second. What do you say to people who are afraid to implement any kind of AI, you know, sort of bring it into the contact center and the culture, who are afraid that it's going to replace their jobs?
Yeah, we get that a lot. And we talk with people about where the industry is heading. And from our perspective, we don't see humans being replaced from this equation. We see more and more impactful, high-level work falling to humans while lower-level tasks and items become automated. Mm-hmm. And I think the important part of that is understanding that the job is going to become more difficult. They're going to have to resolve higher and higher difficulty questions on these calls, more difficult sales situations. And so the only way to continue leveling humans up so that they are safe in their roles from the lower level automation is to use AI as their support tool. And anyone who's going into the battle versus AI with pen and paper is certainly at a massive disadvantage. But I think from the contact center perspective, a lot of leaders have been hesitant to adopt this technology until now, because it's been just so difficult to implement. It's been really challenging from both a cost and time perspective to get some of these solutions in your contact center. And It sometimes when you look at, gosh, it's going to take me 3 to 6 months to set this thing up, and that is either my time or a couple of managers' time, well, all the ROI I was looking for is now gone. And So the exciting portion of where we're at today is that it's becoming easier and easier to get these tools off the ground and to do so at a cost where you're actually feeling that return on your investment. And as soon as you can start playing around with some of these things and seeing what lower level work you can automate, I think most people will recognize the same thing we've seen, which is, wow, this isn't making me think I want to reduce anything. It's making me think I can grow my organization by double while keeping my costs the same, right? Like That's where I hope most CEOs, their mind goes to when they look at this is, I just automated away some of my lower level work, but now I can scale my hiring, training, and onboarding process so that it doesn't break our organization if we double the amount of people we're bringing in.
Well, thinking about something you just said with regard to the fact that sometimes implementation was so difficult, implementation didn't go as well as people expected. And I think of that old business school graphic that they call the Valley of Tears. And basically you see a chart and there's a line that's going up as people get more and more excited about in the organization about new technology that's going to make their lives easier. And then there's this fall off that goes way down because they run into problems and there's issues, and et cetera, et cetera. And then you hit the rock bottom and things start going up again as you work through all the glitches and the problems and that sort of thing. And so the Valley of Tears obviously is the point at the bottom there. And the thing is that today, and I'd like to hear your opinion on that, it seems as though that Valley of Tears not necessarily goes away completely, but can be very much attenuated. And because of smarter ways of implementing, smarter ways of approaching the customer through all of this. What are your thoughts on that, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, on the software side, from what I've seen across all the different startups, not just in this space, but that are building with these new tools, is that internally we're applying the same sort of efficiencies that are then going through the application layer to these businesses. So All of the difficulty in onboarding a customer to a new software solution in the background is now having AI applied to that, so that not only can you get up to speed faster, but it can learn from how you're using it and make updates for you. and be intuitive for where you're trying to go into the app and not just be this, you know, one box that everyone has to try to jam into. And that's what's exciting from our builder's perspective is how can we make this so beautifully simple to use so that no one ever reaches a valley at any point, so that they walk into something that feels custom set up for them. And the way that that happened was that AI sort of extracted from your specific business the pieces that normally had to be manually input by a person, whether that was on your team or software side. So that's where we spend almost 100% of our time now, is figuring out how to take your unstructured business data, your conversations, your sales records, your CRM, any of that stuff that you already have. If you have an LMS, take what you already have and utilize all that data to get our software or the next piece of software set up for you.
Okay, great. Well, these are great inputs, and we're getting toward the end of our time together, Adam. But what I'd like to do is ask you, what are some of the efficiencies you've been seeing among those who are adopting these tools? In other words, what are the results that come out of this?
Yeah, we see it in a lot of different ways. I think the biggest one you mentioned in the introduction to this call, which is, when you update your training program continuously and leverage software against it, we've seen people cut the classroom time in half, whether that was taking a two-week program down to 1 week or even smaller programs, 2 days down to 1 day. Again, when you apply that across the volume that most contact centers are working with, that alone is usually going to provide ROI upon any investment in software. So if you can just cut down your time in the classroom by half and get people having meaningful conversations earlier, that's going to be a huge win in efficiency. I think when you go past that and you have a program that is learning from itself and mentoring people outside of just that specific onboarding portion, and you think about, well, what would it mean if my business had 100% compliance? Or what would it mean if my business had 100% of the objections answered with the rebuttal that we know is the best performing rebuttal? Well, that's when you start talking about moving your conversion rate by 1 or 2%, that at a large organization is a tens of millions of dollar question, right? So for us, we're trying to look at not just classroom time, but as you said, lifelong learning. How can you be making sure that every agent eventually is going to reach what previously would have been a ridiculous number to say that they have 100% of compliance on every call, that they have 100% of the objections answered in the right way? That sounds like a silly number, but it's actually what I think most organizations can be aiming for right now with the tools that are available.
Okay. No, those are great inputs. And I was thinking, as you mentioned, the 100% compliance. Compliance, of course, can be compliance with the company directives in terms of what the agents are supposed to do, and also have to do with compliance with government directives, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so that also, in addition to the, getting the optimal result in terms of sales, in terms of satisfaction, et cetera, on a customer level, can also be a big risk reducer for the company, because if you have the compliance on the regulatory side, you're taking away risk that could otherwise accrue to the company and hurt you badly. So, all right, there's a lot of stuff in this pot that we've been stirring here, Adam, and I really appreciate your thoughts on it. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time together, but are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share with us before we hand things over to Alan?
No, I really appreciate you having us on, and looking forward to Call Center Campus coming up soon.
Absolutely, yeah. Call Center Campus, for any of our listeners who can make it to Austin, May 1st, 2nd, 3rd of May, 2024, please come and join us. It's going to be a great show, a lot of good learning going on. This sort of thought leadership, you're going to have after another
and you'll really, really get a lot out of it. So please do come, and Adam will be there as well. So please come and join us. Okay, thanks very much. I'll hand things over to Alan to wrap things up now.
Thanks again to Adam and to Bruce for your insightful discussion on today's show. Be sure to join us next month for another great show, or look at our huge selection of archive hot topics at benchmarkportals.com. Then click on Call Talk, where you'll find over 15 seasons of this show. From all of us at Benchmark Portal, keep those headsets steady and your fingers ready. This is Alan Potcotter signing out. Have a great day.